The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC, hour number two. Again, I had a blast hanging out with Craig. He's a good friend I've known for a lot of years and very humble. And I'll tell you, if you like slash if you love rock and roll, you at the very least want to go to his site and kind of check out what he's doing and what he will be doing. He is a breath of fresh air, and man, that guy can shred on the guitar. CraigParkerAdams.com. In this hour, I've got a lot of potential topics we can lean into. In fact, I've probably got 2 hours of topics. So let me just run down the line of what we may hopefully get into. Story locally, I got a call from a dear friend. Maybe some of you saw or heard about the woman that attacked a Pasadena house with a pickaxe. That is the home of a dear friend of mine. I didn't know the story, but I won't get into details, but let's just say there's much more to the story than is being reported in the media. And I may have my friend come in next Friday. I don't know. I'm just spontaneously sharing the story. He called me this morning and said, did you hear about what happened in Pasadena? And I didn't even know. I don't peruse the news that much. I saw the video. It's horrifying. Excuse me. If you don't know, some woman just walked up with a pickaxe and started bashing out windows on this really nice home in Pasadena. And it turns out my friend's son was not home, but his baby was there with his wife's mother, the baby's grandmother. Praise God, nobody got hurt. Woman's been arrested. But there's more to the story, and I may kind of peel that one back a little bit. For those of you that like the political persuasion, Joe Biden is talking about gas prices, that when he took over office, he says they were more than $5 a gallon, and he's driven them down. And I'm like, what is this guy talking about? And it's more about the people that believe or somehow have to believe the blatant lies. And there's a story about pre-election strategy of what they're doing, and it's more lies. We may get into that. What's up with all the climate activists acting out, doing bizarre stuff like throwing things on paintings and gluing themselves to the wall, trying to stop what they say is the end of the world? I do have a commentary on why some people see the issue as apocalyptic. I promise you, I will get into that commentary sometime this hour. New York Supreme Court judge rules that the vaccine mandates were unconstitutional and a violation of the separation of powers. Some people are getting back pay. They're going to be allowed to go back to work. This involves some of the New York Fire Department and the New York Police Department. It's an interesting story we may get into. And speaking of COVID, there's a story out of New Zealand regarding a funeral director and the connection between deaths there and the COVID shots. Now, I don't say this to freak you out if somehow you did take a shot or you did the booster. I'm just here to report to you. There are ways that you can boost your immune system now. If you've never heard my program before, I'm not one that ever bought into, especially when a government mandates that you have to take a shot. That's when the red flags went up with me. And I believe in the natural immune system. I think COVID was an opportunity for people in positions of authority and power when it started to turn into an issue that was politicized. That's when I really dug my heels in and said, no way. So we may get into the story out of New Zealand. Archbishop Carlo Vigano, if you've never heard of this guy, he's an Italian archbishop. He wrote a letter almost 2 years ago to then President Trump. I believe it was 2 years ago. Maybe it was longer, on the Great Reset. I've gotten a number of emails from some of you saying, why don't you ever talk about the Great Reset and the reality of what's going on in the world and the push for a one world government? All I can tell you is I try to cover whatever I sense is important in the 2 hours we have. So I may get into the letter that Carlo Vigano wrote on the Great Reset. Elon Musk takes over Twitter. I have to laugh. Oh, my goodness. I posted on my Twitter account. I guess I can tweet again. It's just crazy. He's going to delist it from the New York Stock Exchange. It's going to become a private firm. First thing he did, he fired the CEO and the CFO. And he tweeted, the bird is freed, late last night. That's a story maybe we can get into. What about commonly held expressions that are blindly accepted? I will get into this one sometime this hour, and it may, not my intention, but it may upset some of you. But I believe that it's important to at least share some of my thoughts on the idea and the expression, and you've heard it, you've maybe even have said it in your life. God doesn't give me or God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. I don't believe that's true. Why? Stick around. I'll get into that maybe the next segment. And then last but definitely not least, I will get into this story. It's a crazy story about a guy who claimed to be an atheist, nearly died, and he says he saw some things. Some things happened. The guy now is a minister. And I actually heard about his story years ago. There's a lot of print on the internet about this guy. His name is Howard Storm. And it's just a wild story. In fact, maybe what I'll do is I'll break just a tad early and come back with that and kind of set the tone for hour number two. I will say this with a disclaimer. I'm not one that blindly accepts or believes anything. In other words, when I share the story with you, I'm like, see, there it is. Jesus is real. There is heaven and hell. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to tell you the story from this guy's perspective with an addendum. June 17th of 1984, some of you that know my story, I was run down on my motorcycle on the Ventura Freeway in the valley by somebody on impact that was doing 110. And I looked in my mirror to make a lane change. I had someone on the back of the bike with me that got hurt very badly. I'm obviously here. I survived. But let me just tell you, that moment in time got me interested in near-death experiences. I experienced some crazy stuff too. And so when I hear about NDEs or someone that claims to have gotten close to death and sees things, maybe more so years past and not now, but I'm always interested in reading a story and look, here's the bottom line. I'm not one that believes this is all there is, right? This guy believed as an atheist, this is it. Live your best life, try to be successful. When you take your last breath, that's it. I've always suspected there may be something else. And then when I became a follower of Christ, obviously I began to read the Bible and that changed everything. But for those that really believe this is all there is, oh my goodness. There's far too much in life that is kind of a signpost that says, I mean, just look up at the stars at night. If you think this is all there is, I mean, seriously, or we have an ability right now on this planet. Years ago, I studied ufology in my New Age days, UFOs, UFOs. And if you think this is all there is, or we're the only ones, and I'm not saying I believe there's extraterrestrials all over the place, but this is a mystery. And it's such a blessing to, in my view, have God give us breath in this moment. The life that we have is a miracle in and of itself. Craig was sharing in the previous hour about gratitude. We have so much to be grateful for. I don't want to minimize struggles that anyone is going through or tragedies that we all experience, but life is good inherently. And to be alive and to just partake in this short journey is just an amazing experience. And I'm just grateful, especially on this program, to take a little bit of a ride with you every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. So we're going to break. Phone lines are always the same. If you care to call in and share anything on your mind or in your heart, the numbers are always 800-222-4700. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Phone lines are open. It's basically anything and everything you'd like to share. We will receive your call. You'll talk to Tricia, as always. She's the wonderful woman you speak with before you get on the air with me. Wayman is on controls. He's flying the plane tonight, and we're glad that you have decided to join us. By the way, when we come back, a little follow-up to a premature announcement I made about the name of this program 2 weeks ago. We have a name. It's not what we announced 2 weeks ago. But for those of you that emailed me and most of you didn't like it, there's a follow-up story to that and much more. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. A little Mark Cohn for your dancing pleasure. Hey, one of my friends and sponsors is a man named Dr. John Shea from RejuVU. For last Friday night, when I was up in the mountains with the guys, we ran a lot of the interviews we've done over the last few weeks. And RejuVU had this thing go down last Wednesday where Dr. Shea shared about some of the latest in regenerative and rejuvenation procedures that everybody can benefit by. I got an email from one listener saying they missed it. Well, here's the case. Evidently, if you call them, there were some discounts, and it's still in play, if you will. So if you want to find out more about what transpired Wednesday at the open house, or if you just want to get information about regenerative medicine, call Dr. Shea at RejuVU, 626-551-4800, and say you heard about it on my program and you want to find out more information. 626-551-4800. RejuVU.com is the website. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC are the numbers. So let's get into one of the craziest stories I've ever read or heard of. There's a guy who says he almost died. His name is Howard Storm, and this is going back many decades. Howard Storm, now 75, admits that he had an obsession with success in his earlier years. Raised in the suburb of Boston, he attended school in California before taking a job as an art professor at North Kentucky University in 1972. He became a renowned painter and sculptor, and that pursuit consumed him. Today, he is a retired ordained minister and lives in Fort Thomas. Storm says in an interview, quote, "I was an atheist. I thought that lives were short and sweet, and then you die, so the whole point was to be as successful as possible." He went on to say, "I was an alpha male. I was totally self-absorbed. I considered myself to be a good person because I didn't flagrantly break the law, rob, steal, or murder anybody. I was my own God," end quote. Born on June 1st, 1985, at the age of 38, so this is 37 years ago, a brush with death changed Storm's outlook on life completely. He said, quote, "I was taking a group of art students along with my wife on a 3-week tour of Europe. We spent our last week in Paris. I took my students to galleries, museums, archaeological sites. I was pretty exhausted. And at the hotel, I collapsed to the floor and experienced the worst pain I've ever experienced in my entire life." He says, "My wife called the hotel desk. They called the emergency services, and a doctor came in quite promptly and said he had to have surgery immediately or he would die. He was rushed to a Paris hospital. Storm has since conferred with doctors in the United States who suspect that he had only 2 to 3 hours to live. Struggling to breathe, Storm felt he was nearing the end of his life. Tearfully, he and his wife said their goodbyes before Storm lost consciousness." Now, before I read more of the story, let me reiterate again. I've read and heard a lot of stories, NDEs, near-death experiences. I'm just sharing this with you as information. You can surmise what you think about it, whether you agree, disagree, or anything in between. I have no agenda here other than to tell you about this crazy story. So he goes on to say, I don't know how long I was unconscious, but the next thing I knew, I was sitting next to the bed and I felt wonderful. He said, I felt better than I ever felt my whole life. And the next thing I noticed was that my senses were heightened. I could see better, hear better, taste better, feel better, much better than I ever had before. Storm said he performed a reality check on his body. He tried to communicate with his wife. And despite raising his voice and even yelling, they stared right through him. Next came a troubling vision. He realized the lifeless body in the bed beside him was him. Stay with us here. It's a crazy story. He said the sheet went up over the shoulders, the neck, and the head was turned away from me. I bent over and looked at the face of the body, and to my complete horror and surprise, it looked like me. Storm said the horror continued. He was not alone in the realm of what he found himself into, what he believed was the afterlife. Quote, I heard people calling me outside the room. There was a group of people in the dark hallway back in the shadows, maybe eight of them, and they said, we know all about you. We've been waiting for you for a very long time, and it's time for you to come with us. End quote. Storm wanted to believe these were medics, but as he followed the group into a dark abyss, their professional demeanor changed. Their numbers increased, and their words became cruel, blasphemous, and mocking. Storm said he became very afraid, by which he said, I'm going back, but he said the figures would not let him. He said they beat him. And he found himself in a horrible place that he wondered if he was in hell. Now, this is a guy that was a self-avowed atheist. This is 1972, I believe. Storm was compelled to call out to Jesus, despite being an atheist. He said he remembered the format from Sunday school as a child. He said the prayer he recited was very simple. Jesus, please save me. My prayer was from the heart out of pure desperation, and it was simple and direct. He said, the next thing you know, he knew, a man in a white robe appeared, causing the cursing figures to retreat. He said he believed that it was Jesus and was led to a safer place, bathed in what Storm said was a comforting light. And then a dialogue between him, Storm saying, him and Jesus, again, take this for what you will. Quote, when I asked Jesus, am I going to go back into the pain? Jesus said, yes, but you will learn from that. You will suffer a lot. Storm said he wanted me to fulfill the purpose with which I was brought into this world in the first place. And then he said he woke up. An hour later, Storm was on an operating table. Upon his return to the United States, he was readmitted to the hospital for 2 months with complications before being sent home for a months-long recuperation. Weak and bedbound, he had time to contemplate his, what he called, spiritual experience. He said, the only thing I could do was read. I got my wife to get me a book on Buddhism, on Hinduism, and I had a Bible. I came to the conclusion that the Bible was much closer to what I'd experienced than the other books, so I decided that I was going the way of Christianity. Quote, everybody made fun of me, told me I needed to see a psychiatrist. All my friends and all the other university professors were atheists. One of our favorite topics was making fun of people that were religious as they were the equivalent of adults who believed in fairy tales, I said. So how did it end up? The year after having his near-death experience, Storm returned to teaching at the university. In 1989, many years after the fact, he left to attend seminary, eventually becoming an ordained minister. Now Storm is 75 and is retired. Works with a village mission in San Victor, Belize. He's written four books based on his experiences. My Descent into Death in 2005. Befriend God, Life with Jesus, 2019. Lessons Learned, A Spiritual Journey in 2014. And It's All Love, same year. Storm has rendered several oil paintings about his experience, including portraits of what he says, who he says is Jesus. He says, today his doctrine is simple. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Crazy story, but you can go on and Google Howard Storm. He's done interviews. I first heard about a very in-depth, detailed experience of what he said he came to realize he thought was hell. And I got to be honest with you, it was pretty scary. He was pitched on my former afternoon radio program that I did, and after much prayer, I turned it down. And to be very forthright, I actually don't remember why I turned it down. I think part of it was, you know, the sensationalistic aspects of some stories like that. You do it in radio. I just kind of thought that the man has enough of a platform. I don't need to necessarily have him on. Hey, Howard, what was it like to be in hell? And, you know, tell me more about Jesus. It just didn't seem like the right vehicle or venue. But this particular story is on the Epoch Times. And if you care to find out more about it, the article is entitled Ex-Atheist Artist Nearly Dies, Recalls Jesus Saving Him from Hell, and Returns to Paint Pictures of the Lord. There you have it. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Phone lines are open. So what's up with all these climate activists acting out, you know, trying to stop the end of the world, throwing potatoes or tomato soup at paintings and stopping in roadways in England? They're all over Europe, in Italy and Germany, and they're convinced the end is near. And it's all because of our use of fossil fuels. There is a commentary on why some people see the issue as apocalyptic. It's very eye-opening. Heck, we live in California. You want to talk about apocalyptic? We have a governor that believes the answer is clean energy. Oh, goodness, it's the man in the White House believes this nonsense, too, that this is the way out. The end is near. We have to get off of all of our fossil fuel dependence. And anybody that wants to find more information, it's easy to see between the lies. So when we come back, what's up with the climate activists and a commentary on why some people see the issue as apocalyptic? If you want to weigh in as well, 800-222-5222 are the numbers, 800-222-KABC. The Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. One of my sponsors is, if you're somewhat of a regular listener, you know about Phil Liberatore and IRS Problem Solvers. If you file income taxes, I cannot stress this enough, with the intention of hiring more than 80,000 new IRS agents, things are going to get a little iffy. You really want to lean heavily on the guy that does your taxes, and Phil is the best. If you want to find out more information, maybe you haven't filed income taxes. I have a good friend who is very busy, and just the thought of getting in and filing the mess that he has gotten for himself seems overwhelming. But don't wait. Phil will take care of you. You go in the office, bring what you got, and he's got a bunch of professionals. They get through your taxes. Next thing you know, they say we're ready to go. 877, the number 6-SOLVER, or stopirspain.com. Call Phil. He'll take care of you, I promise. What's up with the so-called climate activists? I just have to tell you, and part of it is maybe it hits so close to home because this, in a sense, we didn't do things like this, but my former world as a radical environmentalist many years ago, I believed and I bought the lies of what was called global warming, now they call it climate change, that we only had so much time before the Earth was going to end, and we had to make radical changes. Here we are decades later. We're still being sold the same false bill of goods with the same fear factor, and yet a lot of young people just think this is true. Just Stop Oil climate activists recently sprayed paint across windows of luxury car showrooms in Berkeley Square, London, before police arrested them. Two climate activists began spraying paint from a fire extinguisher over Ferrari and Bentley dealership premises. A month long of protests in different parts of the region have caused disruptions in everyday lives of people. The activists are demanding that the British government end all new fossil fuel licenses. Since the beginning of the month, authorities have arrested more than 585 individuals in connection with disruptions. Quote, in what world is it okay to buy and sell luxury cars when people can't afford to eat or heat their homes? Or when people all over the world are suffering and dying from the climate crisis? Inequality is what's driving the climate crisis, claimed the group in a Twitter thread. Get this one. Quote, why are millions of children in poverty in this country while people are buying SUVs from Bentley Motors? It's obscene. I'm surprised this stuff isn't happening more. There is a reason we're so poor, and it's because there are more and more rich people getting richer. Yeah, right. That's why people are poor. It's because the rich people are getting richer. Hours later, Just Stop Oil activists were involved in blocking roads in the busy London junction of Piccadilly Circus. That incident happened just days after Just Stop Oil protesters threw a chocolate cake on a King Charles waxwork in Madame Tussauds and splashed tomato soup over Van Gogh's sunflowers painting at the National Gallery. Quote, this is an act of resistance against a criminal government and their genocidal death project. Our supporters will be returning today, tomorrow, and the next day after that, and every day until our demands are met. No new oil and gas in the UK. Were you with us on the show weeks past where I talked about Patrick Moore and read his interview? Moore's one of the founders of Greenpeace. He blew holes in all of this. He said Greenpeace was hijacked by the political left when they realized there was money and power in the environmental movement. Political activists in North America and Europe changed Greenpeace, he said, from a science-based organization to a political fundraising organization. Moore left Greenpeace in 1986, 15 years after he co-founded it. He said the environmental movement has become more of a political movement. They're primarily focused on creating narratives, stories that are designed to instill fear and guilt into the public so the public will send them money. Said they mainly operate behind closed doors with other political operatives at the UN, the World Economic Forum, and so on, all of which are primary political in nature, said Patrick Moore, former one of the founders of Greenpeace. Michael Schellenberger writes a lot on Substack. He wrote an interesting commentary called Narcissism of the Apocalypse. Why are so many people more prone to seeing climate change as apocalyptic than others? Listen to this. Since the end of the Cold War, policymakers, journalists, and activists have pointed to melting glaciers, dying coral, and deadly floods are signs of the apocalypse. Al Gore said in 2006, within 15 years, about Glacier National Park. This is the park that will be formerly known as Glacier. 2017, CNN, PBS, and many others reported climate change is killing the Great Barrier Reef. Last May, Newsweek reported that, quote, cities brace for apocalyptic flooding as new age of superstorms dawns. While the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, warned of, quote, an above-normal Atlantic hurricane season. Schellenberger writes, but people misread the signs. In 2019, Glacier National Park officials began quietly removing visitor signs that claimed the glaciers would all be gone by 2020 because they're still there. This year, scientists measured more coral on the Great Barrier Reef than at any other point since they began monitoring them in 1986. And not only have deaths and damages from flooding declined significantly worldwide, for the first time in 25 years, there were no Atlantic hurricanes in August. Schellenberger says climate change is real and is having real-world impacts, to be sure. He said, but not the way in which we are being sold this story. None of the environmental changes are the end of the world. He said it would be sad to lose the world's glaciers, but the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change notes that there is a limited amount of evidence of any increase in glacier lake outburst flooding, which can be prevented through dams. While warmer temperatures increase bleaching, corals can survive bleaching. Scientists find that corals are adapting and evolving to warmer water. People are breeding coral that can survive hotter temperatures. The main factor preventing flood damage and death remains water management to channel stormwater through upgrading drain systems. As far as hurricanes, NOAA estimates they will become 25% less frequent. Schellenberger writes in closing, in truth, there's no scientific basis for any claim of the climate apocalypse. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization and others forecast that farmers in the world's poorest regions, like sub-Saharan Africa, could see a 40% increase in crop yields if they gain access to fertilizer, irrigation, and mechanization, even at high levels of warming. There's no science supporting the alarmist claims of an imminent collapse of the North Atlantic Ocean currents, which bring warm water north and cool water south, an oft-repeated tipping points scenario. He says, indeed, it's hard to come up with any scenario where temperature change of 4 degrees Celsius could be world-ending. And now most evidence-based scenarios forecast temperatures rising far less than most analysts thought just 10 years ago. Thanks in large measure to the transition from coal to abundant natural gas. Finally, all of this, and yet 36% of Americans surveyed believe climate change will make Earth uninhabitable. 31% believe climate change will lead to human extinction. Schellenberger writes, these apocalyptic fears are concentrated among Americans who identify as politically liberal. 71% of Democrats, 30% of Republicans agreed with the false statement, quote, climate change is increasing the cost of natural disasters as a percent of the GDP. 76% of Democrats, 34% of Republicans agreed that, quote, deaths from natural disasters will rise in the future due to climate change, end quote. And Schellenberger writes, why is that? Why is it that so many people have come to believe that climate change is an apocalyptic threat despite all of the science to the contrary? I'll tell you why. Because the media is lockstep barrel in it. It's all about fear and doom and gloom. And fear works, right? It sells. Look at what the media reports. But the truth, it's not that hard to find. Whether it's Michael Schellenberger writing on Substack, check out the former member and founder of Greenpeace, and so many others. 500 scientists signed a letter not that long ago saying there's no threat to the end, as we keep hearing about over and over again. And yet these misguided young souls all across Europe and even here in our country are making their statements because fossil fuels, if we don't stop, it's going to end everything as we know. Wrong. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Commonly held expressions that are blindly accepted. What about the one, God doesn't give you anything you can't handle? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue next. More of the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I want to share a bit of an apology to some of you that may listen regularly, or a few weeks ago, I had mentioned on the air something about getting my book out to some of the listeners. I just kind of invited the first, I don't know what it was, five callers that called in. I'll send you a signed copy of my biography, Light the Way Home. Well, I just realized, I completely forgot. Yesterday, I got out five copies, signed them to those of you that called in. They'll be in the mail Monday. I just want to clear the air. It bothered me when I realized, oh my goodness, I completely spaced on that one. If you don't know, I do have a biography called Light the Way Home. If you're interested in my story, do not buy it on Amazon. You can go to my website, franksontag.com. We've actually cut the price in half. I don't support Amazon. And so for those of you that are kind of wondering, hey, what's the deal? I've got my book. It'll be in the mail this week. State Supreme Court ruling in Richmond County, New York, has declared that the vaccine mandates were unconstitutional and in violation of the separation of powers. The determination includes all public workers in the city, including in the police and fire departments. The decision now gives legal grounding for additional lawsuits throughout the county and the country and could impact attempts at future vaccine mandates. And yet here in California, you may have seen where the CDC voted. To give our kids the shot. Man, this is, look, I don't want to go down the road and say it's all evil. Even though there's a large part of me that thinks that's part of it, I think this is about money. This is about greed. Anybody, I mean, you can find out, here we are 2 years through this, so many stories pointing to potential dangers, let alone injuries and death because of the jab. There's a story maybe we'll get to next Friday out of New Zealand regarding a funeral director and the connection between deaths there and the COVID shots. By the way, this is not a commercial, but if you have taken the jab and you want to help detoxify your system, if you believe maybe it was a mistake or you haven't been well, my dear friend Vladimir Zelenko, before he passed away, formulated some supplements. There's something that I take called, I think it's called Z-Stack Detox. And if you look up, I think the website, again, it's not a commercial. I don't even know. Just look up Z-Stack and Vladimir Zelenko. It'll take you to the website. I take this stuff every day. I take Z-Stack, which has quercetin and C and D. I've managed to stay healthy, and I take the detox pill every night, the supplement every night, because I think our body takes on all sorts of stuff, and it's important to detoxify. If you missed that, you can always email me, and I'll get you the actual site. I've got a number of emails people have emailed throughout the program. I didn't even give it out. frank@kmgministries.com. That's the email that goes directly to me, frank@kmgministries.com. Got a handful of emails stating how much they enjoyed Craig in studio. My thanks to Craig Parker Adams again. But if you want to send me a private confidential email, my eyes are the only ones that see it, and I will respond to most of you, frank@kmgministries.com. Say again? Oh, listen to Wayman in my headset. New show name? I completely forgot. Well, let me get into that. Thank you, Wayman. So 2 weeks ago, I launched the idea of maybe naming the show Resurrection Radio. We threw it to you. Not that you had any say in it. Don't think you swayed me. But the majority of you listening, you're like, no, hate it. Too religious. When Resurrection Radio in and of itself, there's many ways in which you can interpret resurrection. People that have changed their lives, in a sense, spiritually have resurrected. So evidently, lawyer got involved and ran in and raved and threatening. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to put my flag on that hill and get in that fight. And some of you suggested a slightly different name, and it kind of stuck with me. And I've prayed about it for a couple of weeks. And so I'm going to tell you we're pretty close to officially naming the program, not there, maybe next Friday, calling it Revelation Radio. No, Wayman's clapping. Trisha's giving me the thumbs up. And it will be called Revelation Radio with Frank Sontag. And part of that is, if we do syndicate this program, I'm fine with realizing, truth be told, in other parts of the country, most people have never heard of me. So I think the Frank Sontag Show just sounds like a name to people. Now, Revelation Radio, that kind of maybe takes on a little bit of a curiosity factor. So we're going to dot our I's, cross our T's, look into legal, and maybe next Friday we'll make the official announcement. So, Wayman, thank you for bringing it up, completely spaced on it. Let me share in closing kind of a, how shall I say, each program I want to give a little nugget because of my faith and what I believe is a spiritual principle. And for some, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. But I've really prayed about it and really kind of spent time with it, analyzed it, commonly held expressions that are blindly accepted. We hear so much about this one, God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. Right? Sounds nice. You're in the middle of a trial or a hard season. You're like, okay, I can do this. I can get through this. God doesn't give me anything I can't handle. And here's where I want to go. I don't want to just blow up that expression completely. But something came to mind and it dawned on me when I examined in my own life, when I've gone through major upheavals or difficult seasons, I began to realize that I can't handle that stuff. Only my faith in God has gotten me through. So the emphasis may sound like a little bit of a nuance, but it's not at all. When you hear God doesn't give you anything you can handle, the emphasis on you, in my view, is wrong. The emphasis needs to be on God, where you put your faith and trust in Him. Now, you don't blindly walk it out, just go, God, take it, and don't do anything. But when I became a follower of Christ, the first biblical verse that came to me is Luke 9:23, when Jesus said, deny yourself. It's so counterintuitive to the way we're wired. And true followers of Christ that read the Bible and walk accordingly, we're not anything so special. Yes, we are created in the image of God, and yes, we have all these abilities, and yes, our Father God loves us just as we are. We don't have to do anything. God loves us like sons and daughters. If you're a woman listening to the program right now, God the Father loves you as His beloved daughter. If you're a man, God loves you as His beloved son. But the emphasis being on God and keeping your eyes on God and putting your faith and trust in God, not in man. The Bible says, don't trust man. Put your trust in anything men. You'll be disappointed. You'll be betrayed. Put your faith and trust in God. Proverbs 3:5-6 talks about, do not rely on your own understanding. Put your faith in God and He'll make your path straight. God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. Sounds nice. And maybe you've been through ordeals where you can't handle them. And somehow you've gotten through the season because you just gave it to God. And to me, that's where our power lies. And the blessings that God wants to give to you. When you look to Him. When you give Him the glory. When the emphasis is on Him. not the way culture has redefined him. We create God in our image now, like we're our own gods. Yeah, we are so morally bankrupt as a culture. Evil doesn't even hide itself anymore. You see the breakdown of society everywhere. And if this isn't a time to look to God, God forgive us, God help us. If you're not right with God, for me as one humble voice through this medium of radio, I say, you can't do anything in this life without him. And why would you want to try? Life is just crazy, dark, insane right now. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have faith in God and give him every morning. God, show me the way. I gave my life to Christ 12 years ago. It's not my life. I live for me. I live for God to glorify him in all that I do. So just a little tidbit. Take it to heart. Reject it. Embrace it. God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. I don't think that's necessarily the truth. I think we get a lot of things we can't handle. But when you give it to God, he will sustain and get you through and finish a work he began in you. We'll be back, Lord willing, next Friday night for more of, dare I say, Revelation Radio. You can find out more about me and my ministry and what we do at franksontag.com. We've got an exciting event. It's already on the books February 25th next year in L.A. at Angelus Temple. We've got our man camp in March. But let's get through the here and now right here today. Amen. If we can help you or serve you in any way, you can email me at frank@kmgministries.com. And again, go to franksontag.com for more information. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night. I love you. This is the Frank Sontag Show.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.